Our reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the very beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 7 and page 5 and 6 of the Old Testament in your pew. This is one of my favorite stories. It's the story of Noah and the ark. And I think as a child, most of us fall in love with this story, and I'm thinking about all of the animals, two by two, coming into the ark. Now, as an adult, I look back and I'm wondering, who's bringing the pooper scooper, and who's cleaning up afterwards? But it's such a wonderful story, and it's a story of obedience on the part of Noah and his family. And of course, whenever you see the animals around you, you're reminded of God's creation and his providence for that creation. So please join me and read from the words on the screen where it says, many. That's your cue. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every kind shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and I shall serve for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and its mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and its mate, and seven pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came on the earth.
Good morning again, everyone. I have to say this is a great service. I don't know if you'd be offended by saying, do we have like the most versatile and classy house band of any church you ever saw? I And I also want to point out, some of you may see these little salmon-colored things, and if you didn't read the newsletter, this is after the service. We're going to have a meeting and adult education time to reflect on the Lights for Liberty event that we hosted a couple of weeks ago. And we wanted to make sure that if anybody had any questions or comments or concerns or praise, I'm getting louder as I speak, then please go ahead and write this in. You can do it anonymously and then put it in the offering plate. And at the end, at the beginning of our adult education time, we will read it without comment, just so that everybody has a chance to say if they have anything they want to say. Please feel free to do so. And if you get bored with my sermon, you can do it now. Let's open in prayer. Please pray with me. Holy God, as we think about this man, Noah, as we think about you and your greatness and the ways that you call all of us forward, may we hear your word. May we hear you even through my feeble voice, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for this summer, as some of you know, we're continuing our series on the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruit for today is faithfulness. And when we think about us being faithful to God, I am suggesting that faithfulness is closely related to obedience to God's call, because it takes faith to obey, especially when God calls us out of our comfort zone. And by the way, God often calls us out of our comfort zone. Because actually, if God didn't, how else would people see that God is greater than what we could do on our own? So one Bible story that illustrates this kind of faithful, out of anyone's comfort zone kind of obedience is the story of Noah. So consider. Consider that God is acting in a way that we would never expect God to act, or frankly, we would never ask God to act this way. God ordering up a flood to wipe out all life on earth, except what could fit on a big three-decker boat. Consider God calling on this one man, this one 600-year-old man, to build that boat to house his family, two of each kind of animal on the planet. Offhand, I guess that there is no other Bible story that has been covered by more comedians or had more internet memes than Noah's Ark. Whether it's just the stunning nature of God's demand or the ridicule that Noah must have faced from his friends when building that ark in 1 week, or the jokes about what happens when you put, just like Ted just did, when you put two lions, two sheep, two elephants, two woodpeckers, two termites, and two skunks in very close quarters. Oh, and then, of course, there's the joke that Patty shared with me about the unicorns missing the boat. You may not be able to read this, so I'm going to read it for you. There, it's a unicorn couple in bed, and one of them's reading his paper saying, "Big storm's brewing." And the partner says, "Well, then I'm glad that we didn't go on that cruise thing with your whack job friend, Noah." And then consider that, like I said, Noah did everything without question. Noah did everything that God commanded him. No complaints about arthritis, no complaints about being tired. I would complain that way, but I'm not yet 600. Maybe it comes back, I don't know. But let's face it, none of us has anything on Noah when it comes to bold, over-the-top obedience. What would we do if God asked us something like this? I think we often shy away from doing what God asks of us. We let our fears overcome our faithfulness. Even the fear of failing, or the fear of being criticized or punished, or even the fear of looking stupid, even when we do succeed. But there are countless examples of people acting faithfully in response to God's call on their lives. These were not perfect people. Even Noah, if you read on, even Noah showed himself to be far from perfect after the ark landed on dry land. And you don't have to be a priest or a professional holy man. And yes, some faithful followers do face resistance and questions from their friends. And our individual acts of faithfulness will take many forms, because God calls on each one of us for who God made us, and we are all unique. But regardless of the situation, we are inspired and thankful to witness the work of the Holy Spirit, resulting in this fruit of faithfulness in God's people throughout the world and throughout history. And so this morning, I wanted to share with you just a few examples. So first of all, we can first go back into our own heritage in the United Church of Christ. There was a businessman who was a rather stern congregationalist named Louis Tappan back in the 1800s. His understanding of God's call was to work tirelessly to abolish slavery and racism. Those who may have heard of him know him because in 1839, he organized the defense fund for Africans who had been kidnapped and put on the ship La Amistad in order to sell them into slavery. There was actually, Spielberg did a movie called Amistad. Now, if any of you remember, there was a scene where the Africans who had been kidnapped, they see these really stern-looking men in black, and they go, why are they so stern? Why are they so unhappy? Well, that's your Congregationalist ancestors, folks. That was the Amistad Committee. But that defense of the people who were kidnapped on the Amistad, which they succeeded at, he didn't stop there. He actually spent decades, most of his life and much of his money, contributing to the fight for not just anti-slavery, but also for the full integration of people of color into American society. He worked side by side as peers with African American church leaders to start integrated churches and colleges. You may have heard of Oberlin. He actually helped to start Oberlin College and now University. And that was a school that started in the 1800s. It was co-ed and open to all races from the very beginning. There's a book on the history of the UCC, and in that book, Clara Merritt DeBoer wrote that Tappan lived his Christian faith, although his life was threatened, his home ransacked, and his possessions burned. He taught an integrated Sunday school and advocated integrated public schools in the belief that blacks and whites could know each other as adults only if they grew up together. When one of the white missionaries to Africa asked about marrying an African woman, Tappan's answer was, quote, white or black, whom God puts together, let no man put asunder. Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit falls onto a whole group of people. And like Noah, not all of them are Christians. And when Egypt experienced political turmoil a few years ago, there were Christian churches in Egypt that were being attacked. But some of their Muslim neighbors made themselves human shields to protect the Christians, either by circling the worshipers as they did here, or sometimes they would just make known that they were attending Christian worship services so that anybody who attacked knew that they were going to put Muslims in danger as well as Christians. This happened several times. And the current president of Egypt showed peaceable leadership himself because he made history by attending a Christmas Eve worship service just months after taking office. Now, closer to home, we see how the Amish witnessed to the power of the Holy Spirit when they showed forgiveness and even compassion to the family of a man who killed five Amish girls in Pennsylvania in a schoolhouse. You may remember this. Members of the Amish community went to the wife of the killer, and they also went to the father to show their concern for their grief. One Amish man, it was reported, held the killer's sobbing father in his arms for an hour to comfort the father. Think about that. The man from the community that had been attacked went to the father of the man who killed these children and comforted the father. At the shooter's funeral, over half of the attendees were Amish. And on the one-year anniversary of the tragedy, the Amish community, who shunned publicity, and so instead they just issued a statement to the media. And the statement has, in the midst of it, it says, "The Amish do not wish publicity for doing what Jesus taught, and they want to make sure that glory is given to God for that witness. Forgiveness is a journey. You need help from your community and from God to make and hold on to a decision to not become a hostage to hostility. Let me say that again. You need help from your community and from God to make and hold on to a decision to not become a hostage to hostility. It is understood that hostility destroys community." Aisha Evans felt she was too busy as a mother and a nurse to respond to the growing number of African American men who were being killed in incidents with the police. But after Philando Castile and then Alton Sterling were killed, she felt that she had to do something. She went from her home in Pennsylvania to join the peaceful protest of Alton Sterling's death in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And her quiet stance has become a symbol of peaceful resistance in the face of armed force. You see her? And there's a whole line of police, and she's just standing there in her sandals and her dress. She was arrested. She was strip searched and held in jail overnight before she was released. But then her photo went viral. And on her own Facebook page that she added to after her arrest, Ms. Evans wrote, "This is the work of God. I am a vessel. Glory to the Most High. I'm glad I'm alive and safe." She saw how God was using her and honored God in her newfound celebrity. And we're glad she is alive and safe as well. So you see that we can be faithful to God whether we are businessman, neighbor, farmer, or nurse. We can be faithful by fighting for the oppressed, by protecting the persecuted, forgiving the persecutor, or standing up for one's own community. There's really no common thread through any of these and countless examples of faithfulness, except that these people heard God's call in their lives and they said yes to God. So how do we, at Altadena Community Church, how do we respond to God in bold obedience? Here in the life of ACC, we respond in many, many ways, and here's just a few. For instance, some of us sing praises to God. Some as professional musicians contributing their time and gifts, others singing in a choir for the very first time. Some of us help to feed the hungry through our weekly food pantry or in connecting with our homeless neighbors through Union Station. Some of us care for and teach our children about faith and friendship in God's family, and we celebrate knowing that some of those kids grow up to be high school seniors. And some of us reach out to the community to let folks that know that they are welcome here, even if other churches won't welcome them. God calls every one of us, and God calls us as a community. God calls us to be Christ's hands and heart in the world. And that means that God's mission happens through us, if only we are faithful enough to say yes. We don't have to be Noah. We don't even have to be 600 years old. We don't have to be theologically trained or wealthy or comfortable. We can build boats, we can hold protests, we can raise money, or just say hello to someone who doesn't get noticed much, or forgive someone who has hurt us. God has created each of us with gifts, and the spark of the Holy Spirit is rooted in our souls. So as you allow the Spirit to grow in you, and as you obey the Spirit's leading by offering up your life and your gifts, may you see and celebrate the fruits that show up, including the faithfulness that allows you to experience the power and mystery of God's will in your life. For myself, I have to say that I am amazed at how God provides more than I could imagine, especially in those times when even I stretch beyond my own capabilities and trust and go out of my comfort zone, trusting that God will make things work even if I don't know how. Thanks be to God for birthing us, for saving us, for claiming us to be faithful, obedient missionaries in this hurting world. And may you enjoy and utilize the gifts that God has given to you and the fruit of faithfulness that has been planted in your soul. Amen.